This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. Got a full crew tonight with extra. Nate, Micah, Andy, and our buddy Calder. He helped host tonight.
He was. That was
exciting.
Glad to be here.
Was this the first guest host we've ever had?
Yeah, sure. I guess.
Pat's been on, I think, before and done it.
Guest with a guest.
Guest host.
Yeah. But I appreciate the invite.
Yeah.
Well, we knew it was kind of right up your alley, to be honest with you.
To be fair, I mean, you kind of nerd out about this guy. Yeah. Which is great.
Sort of he brings a lot to the table, man. He's got a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
We quit recording and we could have had another whole nother show just on different stuff. So hopefully we'll have him on again. But, you know, we had Wade Chandler on from Texas Predator Hunting podcast, YouTube. He's the owner of Ally Ammunitions.
Yep.
And he's just a wealth of knowledge on, you know, guns and predator hunting and that sort of thing, and that's kind of what we get into today. We kind of this show specifically is mostly just about rifles and the, you know, the AR platforms, bolts.
It's hard to remember what we talked about on air and off air.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
When we summarize it. Cause
I'm, but I'm well, actually, the conversation we had after we recorded was not related to, like,
no, it was definitely more,
just hunting.
Yeah, it was definitely more hunting related. And so we'll get him on
more
again.
Gear on the podcast.
Good. Yeah, we'll get him on again and just talk strictly hunting with him, too. But
Wade Chandler.
Yeah, Wade Chandler. So awesome, awesome show. We'll get into the to the sponsors, and that way we can get this show going.
Huxworks, we got two of them sitting right there. Don't worry about the one on Calder's gun. But also flow through. But yeah, two Huxworks right there. Awesome flow through technology. We didn't talk about that with Wade. I would have.
Yeah,
that was another thing I wanted to kind of talk about.
I wanted
about.
To get in a lot. Like, I wanted to ask him.
Yeah.
Selfishly, I wanted to ask him more specific things about certain things.
Oh, you did.
He has a lot of in-depth conversations.
Anyways, Huxworks.
Huxworks, Athlon Optics. Once again, don't pay attention to the optic on Calder's gun right now. It's a good optic.
I tell you what, you let a buddy come. And
he just ruins
like,
everything. All but it's pretty. It's pretty.
It is pretty.
Athlon Optics, give them, you know, check out, find a dealer near you. We've said it a million times. If you don't know one, we'll find you one. Several good guys around here. MidwestGunworks.com. Find all your parts for building stuff.
I
Calder built this six arc right here.
Absolutely. Huge factor into these conversations that we're having today.
Yeah.
You can go to Midwest Gunworks and get probably everything you really need
to build
to complete
one of these.
A build
for six arc.
22. 22 arc.
Yeah, you could. And actually, Andy and I, we built our,
built
six arc
six
from Midwest Gunworks.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Yeah. Lucky Buck, I'm not really in the middle of dumping right now.
I'm behind dumping, but it's on the list.
We picked up a new spot, and we'll probably put some mineral there at some point. I don't know if right now it really is important, you know, as we learn the place.
I need to get it there.
Probably should.
Yeah,
but
we just got to figure out,
where.
Yeah, where the best spot's going to be.
But yeah, Lucky Buck, mineral, and then OnX, use our code MWW20.
We do have the king of OnX here today with us, Brandon Calder.
Show it. Go ahead, show your pins.
I wore the hat.
So did I, apparently.
Show your pins.
Check out them boys at OnX.
Go ahead. I just got done coming back from Colorado where, I mean, you literally live off of it to make sure you're in the right spots in those mountains and offline maps.
Be looking for that show, by the way. We're going to have our elk trip recap, which I don't even know.
We can make a mini
episode. No mini episode. Black Ovis, use our code MWW10, 10% off. Check out their sister company, Camo Fire. Download the Camo Fire app and use it.
Reveal Cameras by Tectam. I set out three new ones today and moved some around.
And what was the other cool feature that about those three cameras that you sent to us to?
I was able to share that.
Just share the cameras.
Yeah. So, you know, we obviously have this property that we're hunting together, so it makes it a lot easier. Even if somebody doesn't have a Reveal camera, all they got to do is download the app
and create an account.
And then they can, you know, see the pictures.
Which is free to do.
The only thing I think of is Andy Frizzella's podcast is Don't Be a Hoe. Share the show.
Yeah.
And then finally, Jason Patterson, Land Team. Give Jason a call, 816-624.
No, 8.
Is that? That's an 8. 824, 816-824-6282. They've got several new hunting farms in the 20 to 30 acre range. And also a couple killer bigger farms, 160 and 171 acres. Ready to go this fall.
Awesome.
Get it.
Yep.
Our show today is Wade, like we said. I'm so sorry, Siri. Great show with Wade. Learned a lot and just made me happy.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Go check out his show too.
Yeah. The Texas Predator.
If you're a big gun guy, he's the one you want to listen to for sure.
He makes, to me, honestly, when I listen to him, he just makes me feel stupid.
Yeah.
There's going to be a time in this podcast that if you're like me, you're like,
what?
What did he just say?
Yeah.
But I like it.
Yeah.
I know I liked what he just said. Yeah. I just don't know exactly how.
Oh, yeah. Just don't know what it meant.
Yeah. But he's a wealth of knowledge, and we're excited to have got him on the show. So thanks to Micah for doing all the late work and getting it done.
I got to do something every once in a while.
Thanks for having me down, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, you did a good job.
Thanks for joining.
You did awesome.
Appreciate you, buddy Calder.
Proud of you. check will be in the mail.
Remember thanks, I said Dad. Brandon to my wife, and you're like, huh? That was weird.
Nobody calls him Brandon. That's Calder.
What am I going to say to my wife? Like, his name's Brandon.
Or Calder.
I guess, yeah.
I've buddy answered Calder. The worst.
I mean, when I first got to know him, everyone just called him BC. Yeah. I have no idea. Yeah. I couldn't tell you what the B or what the C was. I just knew BC.
And one thing, I don't know if we've done this on the show, but hey. I'm sure we mentioned it, but you are soon to be a dad.
That's right.
So congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
A few weeks away. You guys are going to get me a Midwest Woods and Water onesie, I think, is what the
yeah. Yeah, we're going to do that at some
sure
point.
We are. Yeah.
At some point. Once we, you know, you just got to do the legwork.
Yeah. I'll figure it out.
No, but we'll take care of it.
Yeah, congratulations to you and Corey.
Appreciate it, guys.
Going to be having that little thing coming
we're excited.
Out soon.
37 weeks here today, so.
Yeah. She hates you right now.
Yeah, she, yeah. Sometimes.
probably just hates life in general.
Miserable.
Honestly, just,
she's ready. Yeah. We're ready.
It's rough.
We're set up. Have lots of gifts from several friends. People have been taking care of us on that stuff. So
nice. Good.
I appreciate it.
Awesome, man.
Well, let's get into our show with Wade Chandler. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. All right, we got a full studio here tonight. We are with Wade Chandler of Texas Predator Hunting. And we've got a first for Missouri Woods and Water. Our buddy Calder is here guest hosting instead of just being a guest. And because we got a special guest tonight, we got Wade Chandler here. If you don't know, if you are a coyote hunter or a predator hunter and you don't know who Wade is and what he does, got to check out his YouTube channel, Texas Predator Hunting. And then, obviously, he is also the owner-operator of Ally Munitions. And so, Wade, thanks for coming on today, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so today we were kind of – we didn't really have, like, a script or nothing like we've talked about before, but we were – our main goal is we want to figure out what the best combination for a rifle is for specifically coyote hunting. And you are all obviously a wealth of knowledge when it comes to rifles. And so we're here to pick your brain about it.
Yeah. 308 or 30-06?
Damn it. I thought it was the 204.
The podcast. Done.
Yeah. Reason you say it depends.
It depends.
Yeah. We were thinking, well, it depends.
There will probably be one of those thrown out there here and there.
I'm surprised you didn't say 204 or 223. That surprises me. But, you know.
At the end of the day, well,
they're all
answer number one is always going to be whatever you're most comfortable with, whatever you have.
For sure.
You know, there's primarily when we originally started our podcast, primarily we weren't even going to be, you know, this gear heavy. I didn't think anybody cared as much about this crap as I do. But as time went on, like all the, I'm sure y'all guys get it too. All the questions start rolling in, and it's just a flood of questions nonstop, which also, you know, with munitions, it kind of adds to that. But so I just started doing here and there more and more. And then nowadays, we probably do way more gear talk and cartridges, calibers, and all kinds of stuff than we do anything, which, you know, that's just kind of where it went. Because the reality of the situation is, like, as it pertains to predator hunting in general, like, you know, whatever your quarry is, your game you're going after, like, there's going to be some, there's going to be some key things that you need to learn to be proficient at predator hunting. You know, nothing can replace time in a field, but the hardest part about any kind of hunting nowadays is the gear side. Like no one is really out there just like, I mean, I say no one, there are some people, but a lot of people, when they want to go buy a new rifle or they're looking at a new cartridge or whatever the case may be, like that's the hardest part about it nowadays. Like because the wealth of information out there, podcasts, YouTube channels and everything else, that's one of the hardest things to determine what to spend your money on. So like I said, it just like natural progression of how things go and people asking questions and
yeah. Well, and, you know,
stupidly, I started talking about six arc one day, and then you know, people just can't get enough of it. I don't know if Horny's paying attention or not, but way more predator hunters and hunters in general are running that cartridge than the long range shooters, which that's a whole other subject for another day.
Yeah,
but that's just kind of, I guess, more than just people just asking questions. That's what kind of drove the podcast in the direction it's going. Of, you know, these, you know, when I record some of this stuff, I'm like, nobody's going to listen to this. Nobody cares. But turns out we started, a few people do care.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy for me, I guess, because, you know, that's what we do. Through Al Ammunitions, we make custom ammo, you know, among a bunch of other things. So it's pretty easy for me to be able to test out certain things and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of times we'll be testing certain things for future projects and everything else. So there's just like this massive compound lot of data, like real actual data, not this, you know, stuff people just parrot online and everything else. So yeah, I guess, you know, at the same time, it's kind of easy because there's just so much of it floating around here, essentially.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you kind of hit the nail on the head with the first thing you said. I mean, even, let's say, you know, 20 years ago, you know, I don't make fun of the 223, but I definitely am one of those guys that's like, I don't know why you hunt coyotes with a 223. Even though the 223 has probably killed more coyotes in America than any round combined, you know, as time has went on, you've got all these different rounds and then different manufacturers of gun or cartridges that were already out before, just making them better and better, that, you know, guys like probably all of us in this room and Wade, their brains just get to moving and they're like, maybe there's a better option. Let me look at this. And then, oh, let me look at this. And now I'm going to look at this. And things just kind of progress to when you're, you know, where you're like, there's 10 other rifles I'd use before I'd use that one or whatever. So, you know, specifically, you know, I thought the best way to start this, and Micah, we'll see if you agree, Andy, we'll see. But if I made you choose one round today, right now, and you have to choose, which rifle cartridge are you going to choose to hunt coyotes with moving forward if you only got one and never again can use another one?
And we'll just stick with just coyotes.
Gosh dang. y'all are just, I feel like y'all sit out, y'all are bullshitting me about the script thing. Y'all sit down around a bunch of questions trying to get me to say, it depends.
Which, you can say it depends, but I kind of want to start like baseline where, you know, obviously we talked before recording, we're six arc fans. There's one sitting here in front of us, and obviously you talk a lot about that. And that's kind of what Micah originally had reached out for, is just because of all the...
Yeah, originally I was going to talk to you about... hopefully here in the next, starting January 2026, our night season is going to be extended. So right now we can only hunt thermal season from February to the end of March, 2 months. Well, they're opening that up for essentially, was it 9 months?
Essentially, January a good part
September.
Of the year.
Yeah, January through September. And so I wanted to build or, you know, buy or whatever the case may be, buy a specific thermal gun that's just going to be my night rig. And I was leaning towards the 22 arc. And then I'm also thinking about the six arc. And so I was going to have you break down why I should choose what I want, sort of thing.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Depends.
And we don't get a hot hunt out of Hyrax here.
To answer your question, like if I had to choose one, you know, and that's it, it depends solely. Like if you're, it helps a lot, and this goes with any question, it helps a lot when you actually put some parameters on it, like just for coyote hunting. But from there, I'm going to need you to tell me semi-auto or bolt gun.
We all have our preferences, right?
Well, so this last night season, I ran a 22-250 bolt action, which was great. I mean, before that, I was running a 6.5 Grendel. I hated that gun. It was an AR platform. Hated it. I had too many runners. I'd hit them square in the shoulder, and they would just run away like nothing touched them. So I moved to the 22-250, went with it, and I got that. That was my day rig. I moved it to my night rig. Had great success with it, but I feel in our neck of the woods, I feel like you have more opportunities, more shooting opportunities at night than we do during the day. So I was wanting to move towards an AR platform just to have a quicker response. Whether I could get the shot off or not, that, you know, depends. But so,
right.
And but then the more I think about it, I wanted to lean towards the six arc because then that would give me another option. I have, you know, young children that are getting into deer hunting and stuff. I could put them in that for the, you know, youth season or whatever the case may be so that they could use it for deer hunting too. But I'm still, I kind of like the 22 arc.
That's okay. So it's a multifaceted answer as always. So if we're talking about the bolt gun platforms, I'm going to get it like one cartridge to roll them all. I'm going to run a 22 Creed or a 6 Creed. But if we're talking about the AR-15 platforms, well, that's where the 22 arc and the 6 arc really comes live. Now, nowadays, what I tend to tell people is like, okay, what are you after? Now, with your specific use case where I'm going to be primarily shooting coyotes, but also I want to have something that my kids can harvest deer with, 6 arc is a great option. Now, the cons to the 6 arc, if you don't load your own ammo, is factory available ammo. You know, you have little boutique companies such as, you know, our company and others similar to us that will load a lot of different varmint options. But if you're like a lot of people just don't, you know, they would never even consider buying more custom ammo because it's more expensive. And they strictly decide based off of factory available options, like big, you know, big ammo.
I mean, that's, yeah.
So from that standpoint, the 6 arc is really lacking because all they have is the 80 grain EODBT as of right now. Now, it'll work, but is it the best option? Absolutely not. The 80 grain EODBT is really at home in a 6 Creed because it needs more velocity. Now, from a deer hunting, pig hunting standpoint, your factory available ammo, the 108s, 103s, 105s, are fantastic. But when we take a look at the 22 arc, this is where, like, the 22 arc kind of changed my thought process from a factory ammo standpoint. Coyotes, 100%, I'm going to choose 22 arc over the 6 arc if we're talking about factory available ammo. 62 EODVT is pretty salty on 22 arc. So it's a 75 grain EODM, and that's a Horny Black. But you also have 80 grain EODX, you have a 70 grain CX, and you have an 88 grain EODM. Last season, we took a fair amount of pigs and a couple whitetails with 88 grain EODMs, as well as coyotes within, you know, 200 yards and less.
Out of and the it, 22, know, it worked
fantastic.
And that was with the 22 arc?
Now, yes. Now, if I was looking at it from the standpoint of a smaller child going to be deer hunting with it, well, I'm going to go back to the 6 arc because the 108 grain EODMs are fantastic. It's going to give you a little bit more leeway on the whitetail for a less than ideal shot placement, you know, a 108 versus an 88 grain EODM. And it's going to allow you to shoot a little bit bigger game. You know, I don't know what y'all's typical size of y'all's whitetail is. Like out here, pre-rut, a good mature whitetail is like, and we're on a pretty strenuous feed program, but it's still only like 210 pounds on the hoof. That's not even, you know, gutted. That's on the hoof. 210 pounds is a good, like, 6.5, 7.5 year old buck.
You so, can add 50 to 100 pounds here.
You know, so. Okay, yeah, somewhere more than adequate.
Yeah, I mean, we're,
you know, for most deer hunting scenarios. But the 6 arc is going to get you a little bit heavier, going to get you a little bit further with a little bit heavier, you know. Whereas, again, factory ammo speaking, when it comes time to coyote hunt, now, you know, you can use the 108s, you can use the 80s, and you can use 105s. They all kill them just fine. And I've proved this like a million times because, you know, we don't just only shoot our ammo. We test a lot of the new factory stuff because we also put that information out there on the website and, you know, on the podcast. And 90% of the time, well, that may be a bit much, but most of the time when people are online talking about this ammo sucks, that ammo sucks, and 6 arc isn't good, 22 arc is good, and insert whatever cartridge they may be running with their thermal.
It's the shooter.
most time it's shot placement,
yeah,
because people just don't practice enough thermals. But, you know, that's not say, like, again, another thing we've proven many, many times, shooting a heavier projectile such as 105, 103, 108s in the 6R, even at close range on thin-skinned animals such as coyotes and bobcats and everything else, it's going to kill it, but it's also going to go all the way through. That's a big, heavy bullet versus, like, a lighter grain projectile is going to, you know, leave all the energy inside the animal. And you have to go with, you know, boutique ammo companies such as us and others if you want to get into that kind of stuff. Because Horny, for whatever reason, doesn't make anything lighter than 80 grain LDBT. You know, that's another conversation for another day.
And that was just within the last, what, 6 months or a year? I can't remember exactly, but it's been recent that that 80 grain ELDVT was available in the 6ARC.
Probably about a year.
I know. A year ago. I know that's what I ran during thermal season because I'm one of those guys. I don't reload, and I do have two boxes of boutique ammo that I have not shot through it yet because I think right after I bought those, the 80 grain ELDVT became available. So I bought 5-6 boxes of that, liked it, and then the first coyote I shot with it, I was really happy. So that's what I ran all winter. And so those two boxes of boutique ammo have been sitting. What are they? 57s and 75s? Can't remember. 58s and 75s. And so, you know, I'm kind of one of those guys that I'm not going to reload anytime soon. And it's been hard for me to find the boutique ammo that I wanted outside of maybe Ally Munitions. But once I found that 80, I was like, hey, I'm going to try this for now, right? But you're right. Like, with the 6ARC, I don't know why that would be the only stock option, especially, you know, as it relates to coyotes, because I was... When I went from the 103, did I have the 103s, Andy? Is that what we got? So we got the 103s when we first bought our 6ARCs. Me and Andy built one together. And we had the 103s. I was decently happy with it, but I did have those situations, like you were talking about, Wade, where they passed through the animal. I killed a bobcat, and she ran probably 40 yards, and she was the shot was perfect. She just ran because it went right through her. When I went to those 80s, the energy that was delivered right there, I was really happy with compared to that 103. Now, compared to some other stuff that you might do and some of the reloading, it might even be better than I can, you know, from that 80, you can even, you know, step up. But I don't know why. That's a weird option. So the 22 ARC, I didn't realize there were so many better factory options than the 6.
And then on the 6 ARC, the primarily... The twist rate on those is usually 7.5 to 8-ish. Is that going to be better for your heavier grain bullets, or can you get the lighter grain bullets if you're a reloader to shoot better, even in those faster twist rifles?
So basically, you see it with the 6ARC. Well, with the 6ARC, you see 7, 7.5, and you know there's a few companies doing some 8-twist. I want to say Howa does an 8-twist bolt gun. Faxon, most of the barrels 8-twist. But a lot of the other barrels are going to be 7, 7.5. Mm-hmm. Now, typically speaking, the faster the twist rate and you start scaling down the grain weight of the projectile, and this is, you know, caveats all over the place, but typically speaking, the lighter the bullet is, the better it's actually going to shoot. And we've tested this a bunch back in the 4 or 5 years ago. We tested a whole bunch of, you know, because... A lot of people just say, well, if you overspin it, it's not going to shoot as good. Well, that's technically not true. A lot of times it shoots better if it's not going so fast that it's going to explode splash. Coming out of the barrel.
Yeah.
Or splash even more so, it's not going to have issues with splash. Now, if you haven't experienced real flash, a lot of people misuse this all this terminology. Essentially, what is happening is, it's got so many RPMs once it hits any kind of resistance. It could be, I've seen it be a raindrop before. I've seen it be a little small twig of grass. But more than anything, when it hits the animal, as soon as it touches hide, it's going so many RPMs on these some of these varmint bullets that it literally just vaporizes the bullet and barely leaves a whelp on the skin. Now, the cool thing about 6ARC and everything else and projectile construction is they figured it out a lot better. And a lot of these newer projectiles can handle a lot more RPMs than, say, even 5 years ago on most traditional varmint projectiles.
Right.
But there still is a limit. Say if we took a 24-inch 1-in-7 twist 6ARC and threw those 58s in it, it's probably going to make entry, but it's probably going to make entry about 1 inch, and that's about as far as it's going to go. Now, some people might think that's good, but that's actually bad. Like, yeah, on a cow, that's not going to kill it. It's right. going to run off, and you're never going to see it again, especially if you hit it, you know, behind the shoulder. Mm-hmm. But all the way down to, like, we had some issues on a 7-twist 14.5-inch in our testing in 58s. They just were not lethal enough all the time. So that's why, that's what ended us on the 65-grain VMAX. That's as loud as we go to get pretty reliable expansion where we want it, not on the outside of the shoulder, not barely in the shoulder, but directly in the center of the chest through all barrel links. Now, with the cool thing, again, with the 6-arg and the 7-twist, 7.5, and we've been tested some 8-twists, but we still... What's going on?
We're okay. We're okay.
Got a lot more tests to do.
Sorry about that. Kids came home.
On the 8-twist, but the 7, 7.5-twist, typically speaking, you can shoot anywhere from a 58, you know, I'm throwing 58 in there because it shoots good, but it's not going to be 100% reliable all the time as far as splash is concerned, RPMs, you know. But let's just say 65 all the way up to 110 grain. That is what is, to me, more than anything, that's the most appealing part of the 6-arc that kind of edges out over the 22-arc in most cases as a do-it-all AR-15 platform.
Yeah, yeah, you get into the heavies.
Now, in the 8-twist, what testing we have done is, yes, you can go ahead and run those 58s with good results. All the way up to, we've gotten all the way up to 100 grainers so far, and that's about where we're at right now. You know, as it pertains to testing and everything, it just takes a lot of time and a lot of bullets to actually collect any realistic data. Like, anybody can go shoot a few rounds and be like, oh, this works. That's yeah. the way it is. No, you have to stack several 8-twist barrels, different barrel lengths.
Sure.
You have to shoot tons of different bullets and see what the results are. And then go out and take it out and shoot animals with it, which just takes time and money and lots of data collection.
Yeah.
So... I would just about guarantee you're probably going to tap out on the 8-twist, you know, just based off past experience with 243s. You're probably going to tap out on 8-twist as far as good accuracy and precision, somewhere around 105 grain. That's not to say you know, and that's also going to be dependent upon elevation and a bunch of other factors, but barrel length as well. That's not to say you probably won't be able to shoot 108s with good results, but... You know, there's always going to be these areas that these twist rates like to play within and get like maximum precision. 8-twist is probably going to be somewhere around 65 to 95, if I had to guess, in the 6-arc, in the velocities that the 6-arc is capable of throughout the, you know, smorgasbord of barrel lengths that are available.
Right. Which, I mean, and I think the biggest question for a lot of people that I hear, I mean, Andy and I think we were the first two people that we knew of that mm-hmm. had the 6-arc. And as we were hunting with them, I fell in love with it pretty much right off the bat. It was probably my favorite gun. And I've even thought about building the exact same gun to have one for the daytime, because I'm one of those guys that when I put a thermal on something, I don't like to take it off. I want that to be that gun's scope. But anyway... Mm-hmm. What makes the 6-arc so effective when I say some of these older rounds, but you know, you're talking about the stuff that's been around forever, the 243, the, you know, some of those rounds that are closely related in certain instances, but you know, when you have that, like, that argument with that guy that's like 243 is better, or which 243 is a great round, I'm not saying anything, but what makes the what makes the 6-arc so effective and such a good round that somebody should just think about using, you know, looking at that as their next potential, you know, coyote gun?
Number one, it depends. So basically, you know, okay. This is such a hard, yeah, I don't want to go on for like 3 hours. Basically, we're going to refer to Hornady because they, you know, they're the ones that released it.
Right.
And, you know, there's going to be insert boomers who are actually in the ARs. Look, it's been around. I don't care. Whatever. They say we spec'd it. Like, Hornady dropped the 6-millimeter arc. The cool thing that Horty does do is when they design particular cartridges, they design the reamer specs and everything at the same time, meaning they can control the tolerances a lot better. Whereas, like a lot of your legacy cartridges were probably pretty good designs for the time. You know, they needed certain shapes to the cartridge case themselves because machining was garbage back then compared to what we have nowadays. So what we're getting nowadays is like basically updated cartridges using updated powders and updated projectiles. We no longer, okay, going back to the legacy cartridge for a minute, how did they get more velocity in order? Because here's a lot of boomers don't understand. Like, the reason why their favorite outdated boomer cartridge was even a thing is because P.L. Ackley was like, I want to shoot something way over there. Well, how did they navigate that? They put more powder on it. Themselves got way bigger. They didn't have, like, a bunch of different options for powder. They didn't have the machining technology. They didn't have the case technology. They didn't have all these technologies that we have nowadays. So what Horty has done is went back and be like, let's build more efficient, effective cartridges. Now, you know, insert, again, boomerisms of they're just doing that to sell more ammo. I think they'll be fine without introducing new cartridges. Like, they're probably one of the biggest ammo manufacturers there is. And they have so, they service so much different cartridges and everything else. Like, I can't get behind that argument of like they're just trying to sell more ammo. What I can get behind is when they put out certain information in regards to how they design the cartridges and everything else based off certain powders and platforms and everything else. And originally, the 6mm arc was developed. They're probably, and let's be honest, they're probably chasing a government contract. And, you know, they spent probably some amount of money in development and everything else. And whether or not they got it, I'm sure they got something because there are certain communities that are using 6mm arc, you know, some of the smaller communities in the military. So when they design these cartridges, they also design the reamer specs, which controls the tolerances a lot better because our machines are a lot better. And again, with the BC of the projectiles, we no longer need 400 grains of powder to propel a projectile 0 to 400 yards. Like, now we have such sleek, high BC projectiles, better powders, faster burning powders, that we can do essentially the same job as some of these more legacy cartridges with less powder. Less recoil. Less powder equals less recoil. Yes, the projectile weight is a part of the equation, but less powder is less recoil. So now, essentially, we're getting close to... Now, an argument could be had that you can hand load two 243 velocities and six Creed velocities almost. Like, I'm talking about close enough to where you're just like, why am I running a 243 or 6 Creed?
And only in bolt guns or AR. No, it's
very specific use case and, you know, all that kind of stuff in a bolt gun.
Yeah.
But when we start looking at the AR-15 platform, what is its competitors? Like, there's been people trying to shove 22-250 in an AR-15 platform for a long time. It never works right.
I've got one of them. It's,
well, AR-10.
It's an AR-10. Yeah. I'm sorry, it's an AR-10, my bad. Yeah.
Yeah. The AR-10 is, like, really the best go, but it's still, like, again, outdated cartridge design. That's why they always have fitting issues. Mm-hmm. When we start looking at the AR-15 platform, there's been a few Wildcats and everything else, whatever. This is the first semi-spect one that truly outperforms the 223 by a vast amount. And what they're shooting for is a lighter, more compact rifle that could outperform 308 in an AR-10 platform. It's like 35% lighter, 25% less recoil. I don't remember what they touted, but originally they developed in the 18-inch platform. But now you've seen almost everybody goes shorter nowadays, with the exception of some of the thermal guys are still running 22, 24-inch barrels and running their light grain projectiles. So the thermal, your maximum point blank range is the most important, you know. But essentially, like, cartridge case design, projectile design is what, in lots of different options for powder, is what propelled us into this new realm of new cartridge design and everything else and made these things super efficient. And, you know, I'll kind of wrap up, because it's fresh in my brain, I'll wrap up my little spiel here about the 22 arc. So The 22 arc basically was a good natural progression. Like, it just, everybody should have known that was coming next after the 6 arc.
Yeah.
And when Horny dropped all their marketing mojo, and there is a lot of marketing goes in this, like, that's just reality. They said it would outperform a 2250. So we sit out and we're like, okay, let's test this. So we took a 22-inch 2250, running to 55 grain VMAX, and we took a 22-inch 22 arc, running the 62 grain LDBTs, because that's what they were touting in their podcast as being like, it outperforms it. Now, it wasn't quite as bad as they made it sound, but I just went straight for 300 yards. 300 yard target to the 62 grain LDBT was 1.5 to 2 inches less drop than the 55 grain VMAX. Whereas the 55 grain VMAX was coming out of the barrel, like, it was like 300 feet per second faster, because it's 2250 and it's 55 grain VMAX. Because your case capacities are pretty close to the same, you know, pretty close between 22 arc and 2250. But the 62 grain LDBT, being a new projectile, higher BC, actually was flatter shooting, and it's a higher BC, so it had less wind drift. Now, when we stepped out to 400 yards, it wasn't even close anymore. I don't remember the drops, but the wind drift alone was so significant. The difference between 2250 and the 22 arc, it was pretty crazy. Which, I mean, I already knew what was going to happen, because, you know, I deal with this stuff every day. The BC of the 62 grain LDBT is just so much higher than the 55 grain VMAX. Boomers' heads explode when you tell them this. Like, but my 55 grain VMAX is going way faster. That's impossible. BC does matter. You know, it's just a testament to modern cartridge and projectile design. That's what makes them perform so much. You know, an argument could be had for better, but most people are just going to look at the velocity and be like, this is better. You know, that's just how a lot of people's minds think. Mm-hmm. Is
yeah,
it's a simple
more
answer.
Velocity, more better.
I'm guilty on that, though. I mean, I'm push them hotter. Let's go.
What?
So, I mean, yeah.
So now, was that? I'm assuming, were those bolt guns or ARs?
Yeah. So to keep it all fair, I used bolt guns, same barrel length. You know, factory ammo. I didn't, because, you know, I could have easily loaded for the 22 arc and just really put the 250 to shame. Same thing goes for the 250, though. I could find a different twist rate 250, which they're not really that readily available. And I could load some different rounds and, you know, make it keep up with the 22 arc and even surpass it. But we're looking at factory available options. You know, that's, you could literally load your way and build your way into almost anything performing really well nowadays.
So kind of going.
That's keeping it.
Yeah, so kind of going back to, like, my question, and we'll just want it to be an AR platform. If we took the deer aspect out of it, you know, as far as, you know, letting the kids want to use it or something, you would probably do a 22 arc over, say, the 22-250, mainly.
100%.
Or the 6 arc.
Or would you – now, let's just keep it that way, too – what about the 6 arc and the 22 arc AR platforms?
Strictly coyotes.
And we'll just stick with
22 arc.
22 arc.
Yeah.
22 arc. If we're removing coyotes out, I mean, whitetail out of the equation, with caveat of like the occasional whitetail, but if we're removing like the versatility out of the equation, and we're only like, I want a dedicated coyote rig or predator hunting rig, 22 arc. Again, going back to the factory available options are just far better for the 22 arc right now. And when you start looking at BCs and projectiles, once again, this could be a deep conversation, but I'll try to, you know, curb the autist in me. When you start looking at BC and everything else, the 22 arc, if Horny came out with the 62 grain 6 millimeter EODVT, well, the 62 grain 22 cal projectile would have a higher BC,
right?
I.e. outperform it, even though they'd be pretty close to the same velocities. Now, you should be able to get a slight amount more velocity out of 6 millimeter because it's less overbore. We're talking about a very minute difference, and we're talking about comparing apples to apples on barrels. But there's a caveat always. There is something as it pertains to the diameter of the projectile where the 6 millimeter kind of shines over 22 cal in some scenarios. And we've talked about it before, and I'm going to revisit a few more times because, like, as you scale this up, okay, let's talk about 70 grain projectiles for a minute, and I promise this will start to make sense. Like, this is so hard to talk about, but anyways. Let's say we have 22 cal, 243, 6 millimeter, and a 25 cal, and we take all 70 grain projectiles. Same construction, you know, same projectile essentially. Well, the 22 cal is going to have the higher BC. But it's also, by happenstance, because of overbore, it's going to have a little bit less velocity than, let's say, the 6 millimeter, and then all the way up to the 25 cal. Again, it comes down to overbore, all that kind of stuff, how powder burns and flows out the neck of the cartridge. But that 0 to, say, 300 yards killing power is going to be far greater with the 25 cal. And it has something to do with the diameter of the diameter versus the weight of the bullet, sectional density. I have to make sure I say that right, because last time I talked about this, everybody's like, you're such a hillbilly, it sounds like you're saying sexual. sectional density comes into a far greater effect. And I feel, through lots and lots of testing and shooting lots and lots of animals, testing this very premise, essentially, the 25 cal is going to perform the best 0 to 400 on animals alone. Something about the sectional density of the projectile, the fatter projectiles going, I'm going to say on average, let's say if we're, you know, we're loading, custom loading this, and we're sticking within certain SAMI specs, the 25 cal naturally is going to be at least 100 feet per second faster than the 22 cal. If I said 25 cal, that's what it meant. 6 millimeter is going to probably be 50 feet per second faster than the 22 cal. The BC of the 22 cal is going to outperform all of them. So let's go to 400 yards now. The 22 cal is going to maintain its velocity better than the 6 millimeter. And it's going to maintain its velocity even better than the 25 cal. So when we swap out to 400 yards, the 25 cal is going to be slowing down at such a rate that the 22 cal is probably going to outperform it, and it's going to in turn perform even better on said animal. That's where our it gets really. You're talking about splitting very fine hairs.
That's where the it depends answer comes in.
25. What's that?
I said that's where the it depends answer comes in that we've been talking about, right?
100%.
There's a lot of hairs that you can fold one way or the other.
The performance difference with the 25 cal up close is going to be far greater as far as, like, perceived knockdown power, if you will. Whereas when we start getting it, there's going to be a certain point, there's going to be a certain yard somewhere. It's probably going to be around 400 yards to where it's no longer going to be that great, and the 22 cal is going to take over. So I say all that to say this. There's a lot of people that like the 6 arc over the 22 arc for that very reason. The difference in sectional density with said projectiles. But at the same time, if we're strictly talking about factory ammo, the 62 EODVT and the 75 grain EODM are far better varmint offerings out of the 22 arc than the 80 grain EODVT is in the 6 millimeter arc.
Right.
We're going to find the biggest differences, like when you go to boutique offerings or start hand loading yourself, that's where we can get into those 65 70 grain projectiles in the 6 arc. You can get them fast enough and the BC is right enough to where they're going to perform really well at the most traditional predator hunting ranges, and that bullet's going to perform very well, especially out of the twist rates that are going to be available in.
Yeah.
Whereas the problem across the board with the EODVT is it needs a higher impact velocity than, say, an EODM or a VMAX. And that's where a lot of people run into issues. Also, like I said, more than anything, thermal hunters can't shoot very well. And they shoot everything in the guts, and they blame a projectile.
Right.
So, and that's when we offer up our 110-grain VMAX 308R. Yeah. You can shoot them
Seven mag.
Big middle all day long, and they'll kill them.
Yep.
I feel targeted.
Exactly. Just get a bigger gun, you know.
You know, I would agree that the six arc is a very sexual round. No, it's, I don't know.
It's got that great sexual.
I mean, it is kind of funny because you do become emboldened. You know, like Micah is making this decision that he talked about with you. And he's like, he was telling me a couple months ago, I think I might be going with a 22 arc. And I'm like, you're stupid. Six arc. Do it. You know? And not that he is. It's just you do come emboldened into, you know, like, I don't know how many six arcs I might own by the end of it. I like them, you know? And now, mm-hmm. you know, everybody likes to collect, so 22 yeah. arc might be in that as well. But
well, I mean, I've already made my decision now. I think I'm going to go 22 arc.
Oh, you're changing again.
Well, I'm changing it. A, I have other rifles that the kids.
All that.
Well,
what?
Well, I wanted
the words of Michael Jackson.
We put some parameters on it, and the main reason I was going was to go to have another rifle for the kids. Right. I have rifles that the kids can shoot deer with, so I don't necessarily need a multi-use rifle. I would like...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just gonna.
This great thing about
technology. Go ahead, Wade. Yeah, we're lagging.
Damn delay.
Yeah, yep.
Here's the great thing about the AR-15 platform. Build out a 22 arc for your dedicated thermal rifle, and just build you another upper for the kids in six arc.
Yeah.
Run the same BCG, same magazine. Just don't get your ammo mixed up. You know, you might go ahead and have two different magazines later.
Just in case.
But you put your day optic on a 6 arc and put your night optic on a 22 arc. Same bolt carrier group. Everything, as long as you keep it within the pretty close to the same barrel lengths, you won't even have to really change the tuning, you know, if your buffer weight and your suppressor or anything like that, as long as you keep them pretty close. When you start going like, super long barrel versus super short barrel, you're going to have to tune them differently and all that kind of stuff. But that's the glorious thing about the AR-15. Again, I tell you this all the time. A lot of my OG, you know, followers, I guess is what you call them, friends, what I call them, but that have been around since, you know, we got our start just on Facebook years ago. They're like, all you do is shoot ARs nowadays. I'm like, negative. I still will always love a bolt gun far more. Mm-hmm. It's just when the six arc became a thing, it made me go back and start really diving into the AR-15 platform, because I'm not, you know, I may be older, but I'm not a boomer. Like, I look at new technology, like, I want to learn that. That looks great. Yeah. Here's a cartridge I can run an AR-15 platform and have all the abilities to shoot just about anything I want to point the rifle at within short barrel configurations. But also the great thing about the AR-15 platform is, like, if I want to go hunting somewhere, I can literally just take one lower and a couple uppers and have different use case scenario uppers. My dedicated 22 arc for a predator rig, my 6 arc for a daytime. A lot of times we may be cow hunting, if it might turn into a deer hunt or a pig hunt immediately. Well, I have an upper for that. You know, that's the great thing about the AR-15 platform. And as I've said many, many times, even better is, you know, we try to take youngins hunting every single year. Number one, you know, younger kids playing video games and everything else are very familiar with the AR-15 platform. A lot of times they know more than most boomers about AR-15s, and they've never even held one. So you're going to catch their attention. Get them a little bit more involved, I guess. Maybe just off the looks alone, a lot of times, because it's like, oh, that's not some Woodstock 30-06 that's going to beat the shit out of me when I pull the trigger. That's a really cool looking rifle. Right.
That's an assault rifle.
Collapse in, yeah, assault on coyotes, maybe. You know, but I can collapse the stock and it will fit. It's crazy. This thing that we didn't get to do when we're growing up is, like, have rifles actually fit us.
Right.
Yep.
Because, like, that, you know, that just wasn't a thing when I was growing up. You just got whatever rifle handed to you. Now we can actually make these rifles fit these children, have the right length of pull and correct cheek weld and everything else, to really actually shoot it a lot better. And, like I said, that's what really brought me back to the AR-15 platform, because I'm not – I'm not so set in my ways. I won't look at something and be like, you know, that's actually pretty great. Like, it has a lot of pros.
Yeah.
There are cons. There's cons to everything. But there's a lot of pros to that, and that is the ability to swap out the uppers, to have something totally different for a total different job. This is something I tell people all the time. People need to stop trying to capture every single animal in the world with one cartridge and wake up and realize there's so many different cartridges out there available to you that you can start building out particular rifles or uppers for particular use case scenarios. Like, choose what's going to fit you best within your budget, your means, and the distance you're going to be shooting, the size game you're going to be shooting, and build from there, because we have so many options available nowadays.
That's what drew me into the, you know, back to the AR, I guess, is when I got my 6 ARC. I mean, I've got other ARs. Now, I'm going to talk about the AR-10 as well, but I've got an AR-10 22-250.
Boomer.
I do not like that gun that much.
You are old.
I've got an AR-223. I do not like that gun for coyotes anymore, right? I had all these ARs that I just didn't end up liking, and then when the 6 ARC came and showed up in my life, it was just like, this is why I'm back into the AR game now, because that thing has done everything I wanted it to do, and, you know, I love it. Now, I obviously have bolt guns that I love a lot too, but it was so much better than any other AR that I was messing with that it forced me to want to be back in there. You know, I've got an AR-10 that I barely use anymore. I've got the 223 doesn't even have a scope on it anymore because I won't get it out to coyote hunt. Not that it's not a cool rifle. It's just it's no longer what I'm going to use because that 6 ARC just absolutely blew the doors off of all of them. And, you know, I'm sure the 22 ARC will do that for you if that's your choice now.
I think it's going to be my choice.
You know, you're dead to me, but
that's,
you know,
that's
other than that.
That's another reason why I'm choosing it is because it kind of pisses you off.
Yep, I know exactly.
That's the number one reason.
Number one. I know it's going to irritate Nathan just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, a 223 has its place, though. I mean, if you're wanting to get a lot of repetitive shooting in, you know,
cheap ammo.
With the gun. Yeah, cheap to shoot. The reason I went with a 6 ARC was so that I could start doing some longer range shooting, and I felt like it had enough power to get to where I was going. You know, you talk about shooting 1,000 yards with it. I mean, that's something I want to start figuring out dope and becoming a better shooter, and that's something that I felt that I could do that with that. So,
yeah, I'm not shitting on the 223, although I kind of am. Because, you know, it's just that
you did.
In that case, you know, I had so many experiences with my 223 when I was coyote hunting.
Yeah.
That I always had to worry about. I always had to worry about all these little tiny things that could go wrong and, you know, losing a coyote for some stupid reason because I hit an inch to the left and the damn thing is gone.
Yeah.
Whereas that 6 ARC, not only did it, you know, I felt like I shot better with it, it also just got rid of a lot of room for error, which, I mean, you know, I'm not saying I'm a bad shot, but I'm not Wedd Chandler, right? So it's like it got rid of those things where, you know, if I miss a little bit high, that coyote's still falling right where it stood, you know? It's just kind of – that's why it brought me right back in.
I kind of went with that. Whenever I started competition hunting, I was using a 204 quite a bit, and I really liked the, you know, point-blank range type stuff. It's super fast, flat shooting. But you'd get into a little bit of brush or something, your bullet would just vaporize. And then I turned around and went to a 243 Ackley, and I started shooting 80 grain nozzle ballistic tips at like 3,600 feet per second. Well, then we were running into problems where you'd show up and you'd tie with your buddies that brought in, you know, 18 coyotes. You both brought in 18, and 4 years have, you know, legs are just barely hanging on. They've just, you lost a lot of blood on the way back to the competition, and you'd end up losing by weight. So, and again, that's when I went back to the 6 ARC and 22 Creedmoor, something a little bit not fur-friendly, but not blowing legs off either. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah, I had a – Wade, you'll like – this is a use case. Were we together with Daryl that night, or was that you?
You're going to be more specific.
The one I shot in the ass didn't realize it.
That one? No.
Oh, yeah, that was me. Yeah.
Yeah, so we were thermal hunting this last year, and this was kind of one of those – it was a bad shot I took. The coyote ended up moving as I was pulling the trigger, but there was a double that came in. Micah and our other buddy shot the front one, and I shot the rear dog. And as we shot, my dog started walking. And so when I shot him, he dropped and stayed there for 2-3 minutes. couple minutes go by, and all of a sudden, my coyote is up on his front legs trying to crawl. And so we put another one in him. He died. But there was so much power and, you know, energy that hit him that he stayed right where we shot him, and he was still dead. Instead of running 400 yards across the cut bean field, and now you got to go try to chase him into brush and see if you can't, you know, kill him. So
and that was lost two stands.
And you lose time. Yeah. It was just kind of like, that's why I use this round, is because I made a poor shot, and he's still dead, you know. And so it was just kind of – now, we were lucky. He was wide open laying in a wide open field, so when he tried to get up and start crawling away, we had plenty of time to finish him off. But those are kind of those reasons why, like, that 6 arc to me, mm-hmm. or the 22 arc probably, loser, is just like – that's why I came back to the AR. And honestly, for me personally, at night, that's probably what I'll always keep using, is some sort of a 6 arc, 22 arc at night, just with the AR platform.
Yeah.
Missouri, get ready. The wait is almost over. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is coming soon to the Show Me State. Starting on November 17th, you can create your DraftKings Sportsbook account in Missouri and get ready for launch day on December 1st. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and grab $300 in bonus bets with just a $5 bet when we go live on December 1st. In partnership with DraftKings Sportsbook, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus, physically present in Missouri, eligibility restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance, excludes customers who redeem pre-launch sign-up offer. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/promos. Back to the show.
It's great. I mean, it's a great cartridge. Anybody who doesn't think so, either hasn't used one or probably doesn't matter what they're going to grab, they just can't shoot good enough to even see. Like, there is no, like I said, there is no cartridge out there that's going to fit an AR-15 that's going to vaporize a coyote anywhere you hit it on the body. That's not what the 6 arc is. What the 6 arc and 22 arc does provide you is a higher BC advantage, higher, more killing power, higher velocities, etc., in all barrel lengths over the 223, and it still fits in a lightweight AR-15 platform. Is it a, you know, is it a catch-all type situation? Like, are you going to be able to go out and shoot 4,000 pigs in the summer in the guts and it kill them on the spot? No. Like, there aren't many cartridges that are going to kill a pig on the spot shot in the guts. But it is a huge leap forward from the 223, 556, and AR-15 platform. Where it really shines in a bolt gun is hand-loaded ammo. That's where it gets super interesting, especially in short barrel configurations. So when we start looking at the cartridge case capacity, the powders that are available that you can load in that, when considering the projectile, you're probably going to see things get super interesting, even in AR-15 platforms as well, as some of this new cartridge design stuff comes out, like these hybrid cartridge cases and peak alloys and everything else underneath the sun. What needs to happen, though, and there is, I gotta tread lightly on some of this stuff. NDAs and things of that nature.
I got you.
Where it is going to get interesting, though, what has to happen as these hybrid cartridge cases come out, it's going to breed new life in 223, but we're still going to be capped out on overall cartridge length. Again, that's another pro to these new modern cartridge case designs, such as 22 arc, 6 arc, things of that nature. What they did, essentially, is made it shorter and fatter. So it's fatter, it can take more powder than the 223, or sometimes the same amount of powder, depending on what cartridge we're actually talking about. But now it's shorter, we can fit a higher BC longer projectile in. And when we start looking at some of these hybrid cartridge cases, it's going to turn up the velocity a lot. Like, where it's going to get super interesting is the 22 arc, 6 arc, but what has to catch up before those things become more prevalent, one is the manufacturing process of said cartridge cases. Because, like, predator hunters and other, you know, long-range hunters probably buy them, but that's going to be about it, you know. Which, from one end of the spectrum, like, I'm okay with that. But from the other end of the spectrum, if we want more modern technologies to catch on, it needs to be something accessible to everyone so more people buy it and more people want to manufacture these things. But anyways, what has to catch up next within the ARC cartridge family is barrel design, barrel materials, coatings, and everything else like that, because you are seeing like a little snippet into the life of the 6 ARC, some of the problems thereof. Like, a lot of people were putting the wrong bolts in them at first, and that was the thing. They kind of nipped that in the butt. And then we've seen, like, under gas situations and all kinds of crap like that. And now they kind of overcorrected with gas system lengths, gas port sizes. And you're probably going to see, like, a resurgence of, this is my guess anyways, you're probably going to see 6 ARC gas systems start shrinking a little bit in length, and the gas port size is going back down a little bit. Because what they did is, everybody got lazy from a manufacturer standpoint, all these barrel manufacturers, they got lazy. And they're like, oh, if we make this like a super long gas system, when we make this gas port super large, like, we can get these things to really shoot very soft and be tuned very well and all that kind of stuff. The problem with that is like, the cartridge case capacity of the 6 ARC being, depending on the powder type and projectile, all those things, you know, 10 plus grains more powder than the 223-506, you're getting lots of gas port erosion issues. Now, that's a whole nother thing. I don't want to, you know, go too far down rabbit hole. But as we look at these hybrid cartridge cases that are really going to take these cartridges to the next level, we've got to, the barrel technology's got to catch up, and we got to get some better. I'm rubbing up against things like,
I'm getting real close.
He's about
to
tell us about lasers.
We're about to hear about lasers.
We got to get better barrel coatings and technologies in order for this to be a viable option. But once it is a viable option, think about your 6mm ARC right now. Like, what would be better? What would be better about it? More velocity, obviously, without it like shattering your bolt or anything like that. Well, these new hybrid cartridge cases allow you to do so. But is it even worth the extra? I'm going to say right off the bat, it's probably going to give you another extra 100 feet per second. That's going to be pretty gnarly in some circumstances. Like, now we're going to be able to shrink our barrels even shorter.
Wow.
And get the same performance as super long barrels. Like, sign me up for that any day of the week. That's a minimal of 100 feet per second. It's probably going to be more than that. But is it worth it if your barrel wears out like in no time because the gas port erodes completely out and your barrel starts shooting like shit? Well, no, obviously not. So as we travel down this road, like, you're probably going to see, because it is so popular, there's a lot of money in that realm right now. There's a lot of people working on different things. You're going to start seeing things get super interesting within the ARC cartridge case family and the AR-15 platform over the next, probably over the next 5 years. You're going to see some, like, you're going to see the performance go up even higher. And you're going to see some pretty interesting stuff coming out as it pertains to the ARC cartridge case family, making it even better.
I'm here for
it. Like I said, exactly. Yeah. I'm 100% here for it. When we got our first handful of boat guns going for 6 ARC, and Alpha Munitions came out with their brass, which is, it's not a hybrid cartridge case. It's just a really well-built, well-designed brass cartridge, high quality, you know, allows you to run them at much higher velocities. I was getting, in a 16-inch barrel, I was matching factory 6 Creedmoor velocities. So, ooh, like factory 108s in a 16-inch 6mm Creed, I was loading 108s the same velocity in a 6 ARC with 10 grains less of powder.
Right.
That's pretty freaking phenomenal. Yeah. And that's probably what you're going to start seeing is, like, as these technologies, you know, come more into heavier use, you're probably going to see, like, who knows what you're going to see. Past that technology, that different case technology, everything else, like, there's not really much more you could do with platforms. Like, we're going to be probably pretty maxed out on chamber pressures and everything else. Like, past that, we should just start working on lasers. Like,
yeah. Sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their heads.
Exactly. I mean, at what point did we just not start working on lasers? I mean, let's be honest here. But
Brandon.
I don't know. That's where it's already great. It's already a massive improvement upon the 556-223. And there's the thing that blows my mind is some people out there is like, oh, no, it's not. How do you figure? What? Tell me something that you don't actually know, and that's that.
I'm just going to go ahead and record that spot and just keep that on my phone when someone's like, mine's just as good as you. Wade Chandler says, how do you figure? Tell me why.
The only thing they have on you is, like, it's cheaper to shoot. Well, if you want to throw a bunch of garbage up in the air and hope, like, hell, it hits, like, a one-foot target within 100 yards, then I guess you could do that cheaper, and I guess that's better. But that's it. That's literally it. That's the only thing. Insert when these – because they're doing the most amount of development right now with these peak alloy cases in the 223, 556. When that comes online, you're going to see a lot of like, my 556 is just as good as your, 22R. It's like, well, until they, get the peak alloy cases going for that, then once again, you're in the dirt and you're basically outdated. Let's be honest here. The only reason why the 223, 556 is still even around is because NATO. Like,
yeah.
We'd have moved, people would have moved on from that a long time ago. Like, it's not that good of a cartridge.
No.
Like,
But everything's advanced so much,
It's done so much. And, I still shoot a bunch of 223, 556. It's inexpensive to shoot. That's literally all it has going for nowadays. And yes, if you want to get into like being really fur friendly and everything else, sure, go with the 223, 556.
Yeah, it's so fur friendly that you don't put the coyote in the back of your truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, but your shot placement better be so on par. And let's be honest, with the adoption of thermals, like they have officially overtaken any other means of not hunting. Like, yeah, that's just reality. And it's only going to get even more so, like, as time goes on. People, like, thermals aren't going to get good enough, fast enough, to where people aren't always going to be searching out something that's going to kill a little bit better than 223, 556. Because the reality situation is, thermals, no matter how good, how much money you spend on one, it's still pretty equal to shooting coyotes at further ranges with a red dot. Like, when you really, bust it down to its most simplistic form, like, with your most clear picture and everything else, it's basically 1x, 2x, sometimes 3 or 4. It's basically shooting a coyote with, I'll equate it to shooting a coyote with a red dot.
That makes sense.
And a lot of times you're going to be shooting a coyote 100 yards plus. And a lot of people aren't going to practice enough. So people are going to be searching out those faster, flatter cartridges that give you a little bit of leeway with your shot placement.
Yeah.
Which,
practice. Sorry.
You can practice all the live long day with a 556 and become pretty efficient with it, pretty effective with it. I did it back in the day. But I know everybody thinks they're a super sniper, but when it comes time to predator hunt, if you're going to do any amount of predator hunting whatsoever, like any more than 5 stands, you're going to shoot a coyote less than ideal position, and that's where these more advanced, better cartridges come into play. Like, you buys you a little bit of leeway on that kill zone. Or like you said, it may not have killed it on the first shot, and that's just reality hunting. Sometimes shit happens.
Unfortunately, they take a step. Yeah, I get it.
And now I'm not chasing this animal 4,000 yards because in all reality, again, I know everybody thinks they're Johnny Seal and Super Sniper and everything else, but that's just not reality. Like, you're going to mess up a bunch of shit in hunting. That's happens to everybody. I don't care what anybody says, and that's where, like, some of these more modern advanced cartridges are just that much better. It gives a little bit of leeway to mess up a little, because that's just reality of hunting.
Yeah, and, I mean, in the end, all of us, coyote hunters here, and you, anybody listening probably, they want to kill the animal as quickly as possible. They don't, I don't want the animal to sit there and, try not to die for 5 minutes. But if it's going to be a poor shot and it's going to injure the animal to a point that I'm going to have to finish it somehow, I'd rather be right where I shot it the first time instead of, like we said, in the brush an hour later when we finally find it. That That that's not what we're trying to do. I mean, yeah, we're trying to kill coyotes because we like to kill coyotes, but, you know, I'm still not an asshole. I don't want them to sit there and, you know, suffer and bleed out over a two-hour period. So, you know, it just, like I said, it just, for me, it's that that error window gets bigger. Yeah. Whereas with that 223, my first, I remember that first year, that first thermal year, remember that 223?
Yeah.
Now, listen, I probably wasn't using the best round. It was a 55-grain VMAX with my 223, and I swear I would shoot a coyote right where I was supposed to, and that thing would walk away like it never even got touched. Or I remember one during the day I shot and went to go get him, and he wasn't dead, and I shot him again, and it took me a third shot to finish him, like, because it just kept splashing and just being, you know, crappy. And I experienced just as many negative things with that I did as I did positives, which, once again, I'm not saying I was the best shooter that year, but I had zero room for error.
Yeah. With my thermals, I've gotten to where, like, you spend a lot of time shooting it, you know, and shooting before you go out every hunt, too, just to make sure that it's still zeroed and still ready to go.
Right.
You know, do your homework to make sure it's going to be an ethical shot whenever you shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's a lot of problem with thermal hunters. They just don't practice enough.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of problem with any hunters. They don't practice enough. They're like, you know, our favorite joke we used to cut all the time, I hadn't said it in a while. I think Fitzy might have come up with this back when he was here all the time. Most hunters buy one box of ammo a year. That's 19 to zero the rifle and one to shoot the deer.
Yeah.
How is Fitzy doing? And now that he's heard about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, is he okay?
Actually, I haven't seen him since they made that announcement. Uh-oh. He may be like, he might have locked himself in a closet somewhere.
Better take his shoestrings.
Well, and then, you know, kind of to wrap bow on it, in the end, it depends.
It depends.
You know, what's your end goal? Are you going to shoot just coyotes? Are you shooting coyotes out in, you know, Western America or in Kentucky or in Texas? Are you going to try to shoot other stuff? There's all kinds of, you know, variables. But, I mean, the whole point was the six arc is a great option.
There's a lot of good options out there.
The 22 arc is probably a good one. But, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and say, I just can't wait till you have, like, one problem with the
22. I know. You're definitely going to give me, and it's going to happen.
It will.
It's going to happen.
It always does.
And that's fine. That's
the
part of hunting.
With any of them. There's always going to, I can promise you this, with no matter what the cartridge, well, we have played around with some pretty wild stuff in the past where you could have shot it and towed it and killed it. But
50
for the most part, it doesn't matter what you're shooting. If you hunt enough, it's always going to be one animal. And no matter what animal you hunt, there's always going to be one animal that has that absorbent
will to live.
Will to live. Yeah. Does that even make any sense? I think that was last year, the year before. I don't remember. There was one particular stand we were up in Panhandle hunting. It was one of those, like, fantastic days where daytime hunting only. And we're calling coyotes on every single stand, multiple coyotes on every single stand. And we're filming. So, like, you know, when you're filming, you're a lot more patient than everything else. And you're trying, we're literally putting the call right in front of us, you know, trying to get the coyote as close to that camera as possible. And I always say every single year, there's one coyote. You just have to sit there and scratch your head because, like, it looks like a damn cheese grater you shot so much. It just would not die. I don't care what you're shooting. I've seen people shoot all, you know, I've been hunting with lots of people. We used to guide a bunch back in the day. I've also hunted just in general with a bunch of different people, a bunch of different game and everything else. So there's one animal every single year that just blows your mind. But this one particular coyote, and we have it on film up until the point it got interesting. So it comes bounding in, you know, up, all beautiful. The sun's right. Like, it's the best footage ever. And the call is like 5 yards in front of us. It comes right up to the call. And right when it takes its last little bound right at the call, I let one rip. I was testing the 58-grain VMAX. So this would have been 2 years ago. And it went down, started kayaking a little bit. I automatically, something catches my eye further away, so I go back to looking way out in the distance. Unbeknownst to me, this cow rolls back up, kind of rolls around, kind of, again, it's just right down below me, but it's not in my, you know, vision. And it's coming at us from 5 yards away. And I, you know, it catches my eye just in time for me to just die out laughing. Because I know what's about to happen. I've seen this happen once or twice in the past, like where you shoot a cow and it gets angry. You know, it wants to attack something. Well, we're really close. And I'm already laughing so hard, I can't even pull the trigger. Like, I have the gun on him, and it's almost at the end of the barrel. I'm laughing so hard already because I know what's supposed to happen.
The camera guy's in the camera.
Justin, the camera guy, is just right behind me on a stool. I'm sitting on the ground. So I'm laughing so hard, I'm already falling over, and I try to shoot him as he's running up past my feet because I don't know why, but it zeroed in on Justin. It had to jump over my legs to get to Justin. And I tried to fire off around as it was, like, jumping over me, and I missed. And I'm laughing. I'm laughing hysterically because I'm like, what's the worst? I literally shot it, and it nose plant. Like, it shot it directly in the shoulder, and it's it should be dead right now. I'm over there rolling around laughing, but I realize that Justin is now, I think he's got his stool, and he's, like, trying to force it off of him because it's coming. It's decided Justin needs to be eaten. So it's like, you know, snarling and growling and everything else. And I roll around. Now I have to, because our good buddy Dane, he's over here, so I can't just directly aim at it and shoot because that'd be shooting towards Dane. And now Justin's over here, you know, he's either got the chair. He's got the chair because he just, like, spun the camera out of the way and started fitting the coat with the chair. So I have to roll in between Justin and Couch and shoot it. I shot it 3 or 4 more times, almost point-blank range. In fact, the last shot was point-blank. The suppressor was in its mouth. Huh. And it was still alive.
Yeah.
And that thing was all kinds of messed up. And that was our one Couch for the year. That was just like Terminator Couch. But over the years, I've seen some pretty wild stuff. I've seen Couch, like I said, even deer sometimes. They just have they're wild animals. They have that will to live. They have that adrenaline rushing through them. Like, sometimes the perfect shot, the perfect bullet, you're like, it just doesn't produce the results you're after. These are wild animals. Like, you know, and if you can utilize something that's going to impart a massive amount of energy transfer inside the animal, not only, you know, vaporize those internal organs, but also, you know, send those shockwaves to the body and everything else that's going to plant it and kill it and allow it to die quickly and humanely.
Yeah.
It's just better.
So that it doesn't attack Justin. You
get that out of more modern cartridges.
Right.
Now, to this day, like when we get into open country, because like all that stuff in Panhandle we hunt is like really open country. I carry 2 rifles. Well, that's not true. I carry a bunch of rifles, but... I carry 2 rifles if shit's for real, like for hunting contests. I will have a 6 arc or a 22 arc if I'm running the call. Because we set up to where, you know, we're talking about daytime right now. We set up to where I go into the, whatever the most, you know, the areas we're intending on calling. I go and set up near the call with my little AR-15 6 arc or 22 arc. It's usually a 12.5, 14.5, or 16, nothing over 16 because I want to be able to quickly move around and, you know, sometimes I'll get in the edge of brush lines on draws and everything else, but we always send Dane. Usually he runs a downwind gun because he don't like running AR-15s, although I just built him a badass 22 arc, so maybe it'll change this year. But I'll send him to watch the downwind. He's usually about 100 yards away from me, so when the cow's trying to circle, I'm already a little bit downwind of the e-call always, but he's even further downwind of the e-call. So if they circle in between me and him, he catches it to the extreme downwinds, whereas I watch the e-call and everything coming upwind with the little AR-15s, where 9 times out of 10, if we get rushed by multiple coyotes, they're going to be coming straight in. That's where having an AR-15 platform is pretty handy. Mm-hmm. Something short, lightweight, compact, and everything else, and I have multiple rounds in the magazine. Whereas a lot of times if you're picking up those downwind dogs, like a bolt action is pretty optimal. Now, when I run the downwind gun, I will carry some longer-barreled 6 arcs and 22 arcs if I want to test some ammo or test a new optic or whatever. But 9 times out of 10, it's an 18-inch or 20-inch 22 Creedmoor. And I'm usually running our 75-grain EODMs.
Yeah.
That's where that's where that thing really becomes super optimal, is those much further range shots. Like, that's where it's going to, those higher BC 22 cal projectiles going at ridiculous velocities, you know, it's going to be pretty optimal as far as, I want the furthest point blank range shooting rifle I can, but also that projectile that's going to perform pretty well at even further ranges, because out there when we hunt, you could shoot as far as your heart desires in some spots. Like, yeah, it's literally that.
Some place you feel undergunned
a lot, yeah, of times, right. And that's what you're dealing with. So when I talk about building rifles for specific use cases, well, that's what we're talking about there. Now, as far as my six arc that I would normally use, if I want to run an AR-15 for like the downwind gun, it's usually one of my nighttime thermal six arcs that I'll put a daytime optic on, and I'll run something slightly higher BC than the 65 grain VMAX, some 87s or, you know, something of that nature, something a little bit higher BC, and it's going to be in a longer barrel, so it's going to be higher velocity and all that kind of stuff. It's like this good balanced strike between a still a good performing projectile on count size game, but yeah, also a little bit higher BC than the 65-70s, because, again, we're running the downwind gun, we're running something that I'm going to be shooting a lot for the ranges, you know, in general. Like, it's nothing on a good day trip out there for us to kill a couple cows that 400, 500, 600 yards. Because, like I said, I think everybody at some point in their predator hunting career should go hunt, daytime hunt big open country. It'll teach you a lot about just how good cows can hear.
Yeah.
Because, and it'll teach you a lot about stand set up and how important it is to have a clear view of the downwind always. And the hunt is, at least try to hunt always as a team and separate yourselves when it's safe and, you know, all that good stuff. When you can, because your sound is definitely going to be carrying much better downwind regardless of how you set up your stand and what you called and everything else. And out there, you know, if we try to travel the land properly, moving into the wind always to an extent, it's still pretty often that we'll call in dogs from straight downwind. You know, they'll come from the next ridge over, but they're already downwind, so that you have to make these 500, 600 yard shots sometimes, because that's just the nature of the beast hunting that wide open country. You actually see the cows way downwind.
Yeah.
That's where we tend most of the time, like I said, unless I'm testing something or whatever, that's when we go into the 22 Creed or 6 Creed bolt guns, the higher BCs, higher velocities. Because we want to be able to shoot to 400 or 500 yards without much thought. Yeah. And that's where, you know, that's where it starts stepping into the Creedmoor territory. Whereas if I'm hunting thick brush or I'm running the call and everything else, I'm still running my little 6 arc or 22 arc.
Right.
Nowadays, it just depends as far as personal. Depends on what ammo I need to test. But if, like, shit's serious, more than likely I'm going to have one of my 6 arcs. As of right now. Now, that may change. This is my personal preference. That may change as we continue to develop our 22 arc ammo. Because, you know.
Nope. You said it, like, Wade. Nope. I win. Micah loses. You said it.
Oh, no. No. Don't mix my words. From a factory ammo standpoint, I'm grabbing 22 arc for a dedicated cow rig. It doesn't matter what you choose. Like, the only reason why I say that, when it's serious, I take an 18-inch 20 Creed, and I take my 16-inch 6 arc 9 times out of 10. When it's Dane gets us entered in these contests every once in a while. I hate contests, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
As long as I get daytime cow hunt, I don't give a shit. You know, it really doesn't change much for me. I still kind of hunt the same. I'm kind of just, let's go when it's going. Let's slow down when it's not going. Like, that's kind of how I hunt always. But when it's serious, I want the rifles that are like riding a bicycle. Like, I can nearly shoot them with my eyes closed.
Right.
And for me, that's one of my 16-inch six arcs, 16 of the 14.5, but probably 16, and one of my 18-inch 20 Creeds. Like, I just shoot them more than anything else because I don't know. That probably just what I enjoy the shooting the most, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, I would take something that I'm comfortable hunting over something that has slightly better ballistic performance any day of the week. But at the end of the day, you're probably within the traditional engagement ranges of when I'm running the call. It probably doesn't matter, 22 arc versus 6 arc. Like, it probably doesn't matter at all. It's when we start looking at thermal hunters want a little bit better ballistic performance because you typically are shooting a little bit further than, say, a daytime hunter or the downwind gun guy. Like, we're looking a little bit more, a little bit higher velocity, a little bit better ballistic performance. And like I said, so to circle back around to the 22 arc conversation we started with, the bolt guns against each other, for shits and grins, I grabbed my 16-inch 22 arc that day. So I shot steel, went down there and marked it with the 2250. Shot steel with the 22 arc bolt gun, went down there and marked it, measured, took my photos, all that stuff, basically log all the data down. And then for shits and grins, I grabbed my 16-inch AR-15 22 arc with the 62s and shot it. It was like another inch and a half lower impacts than those 22 inches. I'm like, that right there tells me everything I didn't know. Screw long barrels. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit more elevation, you know, right, at 300 yards. That's what it equates to. Like, the wind drift was, it might have been a half an inch more between the 22-inch 22 arc versus the 16-inch. Elevation, like I said, inch and a half, I think, if I recall, inch and a half more on the 16-inch versus the 22-inch. Where it really starts to matter, like barrel length and velocities and everything else, is when you want it to be able to, you know, shoot them way even further. You know,
yeah, right.
That's where I would, the further I want to shoot, the longer you need to make the barrel. You know, if you want to do it with minimal thought process, I guess is what you would say. Like, the higher velocity on these higher BC projectiles, the better it is.
Nate, how
better on fur up close as well, but
yeah.
What's
how
that?
How long is that barrel? 127 inches. I'm going to be accurate. I think the bottom line is,
you know,
yeah, we're doing that thing again. Sorry, technology screwing us. Go ahead, Wade.
I forgot what I was going to say.
I was, you know, when we were talking about AR to bolt gun, to kind of tie a bow on it, you might have something else you were going to ask, but to tie a bow on it, I was going to kind of say, you can't, if you're going to be a bolt gun hunter, you can't say, so anyways, I just started spraying. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
That's the best part. You know, I mean,
conserving ammo, let's just, bolt gun's much
let's,
better.
Let's just be honest. We've all
that's
been
the biggest
night
reason I had to run one. Yeah.
We've all been night hunting with a 10-round magazine or whatever we got in.
And walk back to the truck, and there's coyotes still running the field.
And we've all emptied a magazine and gone, well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Guys, got any more ammo?
Yeah. Any more ammo.
There went 30 bucks.
So with Ally Munitions, what offerings in the Premier line ammos do you carry for the 6-arc stuff? Do you are you guys using any of the Alpha Brass on any of that stuff?
We haven't released any Premier for 6-arc yet.
Okay.
And that's going to be, it's probably going to be next year if we get around to it. So,
killing me, Wade. I'm buying dies.
Buy some dies, get the brass. Even when we do launch it, like, it's probably going to, it's 6-arc is one of our top sellers. And that's been the biggest problem with getting out to more 6-arc offerings is just trying to keep up with demand of the 65s alone. You know, where we live, it's mostly oil field town, so trying to find employees is kind of tough. I'm also very selective. I only want good people. And, you know, so we're a small crew. It's me, my wife, and we have one other guy, Swain.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, we're a small crew, but, I mean, we do a lot of stuff, you know, for no bigger of a crew than we are. And we're only going to grow. As far as employees go, we're only going to grow as, you know, I decided a long time ago, like, I'm not just going to go out and hire a bunch of people because at the end of the day, my name's on all this stuff.
Yeah, your quality will decrease if you're just hiring whoever will come work for you.
And
yeah.
I only want people that are passionate about this kind of stuff or, you know, are passionate to learn about this kind of stuff and care about the quality and everything else. So, unfortunately for all the customers, like, there is, I have several offerings ready to go. Like, the testing's been done for some of them for a couple years as far as, like, thoroughly testing the projectiles on actual animals and all that kind of stuff. It's just, it comes down to, like, getting past demand.
Yeah.
But we're getting there. I mean, our output is more than, tripled this year. Because for the most part, it's mostly just been me and one other person damn near since we started. I mean, we tried the whole, like, hire up people and all that kind of stuff, and it never pans out. That's why I'm just like, done. We're only going to hire people that I'm just thoroughly impressed with.
Well, I'm glad I got you on the phone here. I got the PWS buffer tube and ratcheting end plate there for the gun. I didn't get a sticker or candy in my package when it showed up.
Getting fired.
That was his wife, not him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, before we end this, Wade, tell people how they can two things. Check out your company Ally Munitions and your podcast and your YouTube channels. How can people check you out if they live under a rock and haven't heard about you? How can they check you out?
So the website is allymunitions.com. We have an Instagram, Ally Munitions. The podcast is the Texas Predating Podcast. We're everywhere: Spotify, Apple, YouTube. Right now, we're still in timeout. We're on Rumble. We're actually going to be making some changes to where, like, on the bench segments and probably the hunting videos. We're probably going to move those only to Rumble because we're getting so many hand slaps. Right now, we're treading on thin ice on the podcast channel. We got two strikes right now.
Oh shit!
And like I said, we're still in timeout. But it's available literally everywhere else. Like, you can watch the video podcast on Spotify. We have the Rumble channel. Everything's underneath the Texas Predating Podcast. And we also have, Instagram channels, Facebook channels. We have all the groups and all that stuff on Facebook. Texas Predator Hunting is an actual group. That's kind of where all this stuff started. But there's also content on the website that you can only see on the website. And we're gonna be looking into expanding the blog over there, like writing a lot of stuff about hunting and, kind of expanding, getting in more guest writers and stuff of that nature, make it, a little bit more fun as far as the blog goes. We have a lot of stuff planned. It's just, it takes a lot of time, money, essentially. That's what a lot of people don't realize.
It's difficult. They don't make any more of it in a day, and you don't feel like you ever get anything done.
Yeah. Texas Predator Hunting Podcast has a couple of good podcasts. They got Clay Reed. He's a real good character to listen to his stories when he comes on. Then Tim Spike Davis. They got some good podcasts there. So
nice.
Make sure you check them out.
Yeah, we've had a lot of great guests since we started this. And actually, as I was talking about before, like, I'm probably going to start moving more into, as far as the podcast is concerned, trying to have even more guests. I originally started this to have guests. And what I'm going to try and do, we actually have another YouTube channel. It's kind of like a backup. I don't remember what I called it. I changed the name recently, but I don't remember what it was. That would probably be information you couldn't know. But we're going to try and move more of the technical stuff that direction. And I've actually been recording a ton of podcasts with industry people as far as, like, firearms and suppressors and predator hunters and everything else. Like, that's what I originally started the podcast for. I'm going to try and keep pushing that direction, separate some of the technical content more towards, let's be honest, it'll probably end up being on Rumble because of how YouTube. But I guess maybe it's because of my mouth. Like, I'll say whatever I'm really feeling. We get into trouble a lot. Like, we get into a lot of videos.
That's why I'm like, I'm surprised we haven't been in trouble yet because we say stupid things all the time.
I have to think it's because I'm so free with some of the things I say. Because, like, some of the things they take our videos down, it's like, that's not even against your rules and what you're claiming it's about. We've already, because of my mouth, we can't even have a... what's that thing called? Linktree. They deleted me. I guess because I got a potty mouth and I say...
Well, it's probably because they think you say sexual over and over, but it's not sexual.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's some of the other stuff I've said.
That's funny.
But, and I'll say, I keep telling people this. Don't turn on my podcast when your kids are around. This, my podcast is where I let my hair down and I talk. This is an adult's podcast. They're not always that way.
It's not that bad.
But most time you should just, it's an adult podcast. Yeah. Like, I'm going to say some things.
I'm going to say some things.
I get it. Man, Wade, we really appreciate you coming on and talking about, I don't know why these pop up. What are they doing there? Where do they come from? What does that mean?
I thought y'all was doing something over there.
I don't know.
A little mood booster.
They just like show up. Thumbs up. Did you see the hearts earlier?
Yeah.
There was hearts. Yeah.
I
don't know where the hell that come from.
Whatever. It's your podcast.
we appreciate you coming on, man, and talking about, you know, this cool subject. And like you said, we could have picked your brain for another 5-6 hours, but we're going to let you, you know, have some supper at some point. So, Wade Chandler, thanks for coming on today, and have a great one.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, man.
See ya.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.